mountain, and it goes little roads that wind in through the mountains, and there's rocks, thousands of feet high on either side of you, and it's like the mountains swallow you up. And so it's a great time and a great experience, and one of the most exciting and nerve-wracking, I guess would be a better thing to call it, was we drove our bike over, Bill, it was called the Devil's Backbone. And there's a little sign before you get to the Devil's Backbone, and I thought, you know, as a Christian, I thought, well, I wonder what the Devil's Backbone is. And this is what it is. I was wishing I had a three-wheeler or a convertible, but it's a mountain, and it comes up like this to a little two-lane road, and for I don't know how many miles it goes across. You're just right on the ridge and thousands of feet down on either side, and there's nothing. It's just a small two-lane road, and you're driving your bike across there. And we had just came out of rain and had our rain suits on, and it quit raining. I told Jan, I said, I think if it had been raining, I would have laid the big bike over and scooted it across the mountain top. I mean, it's freaking me out, you know, to go across that thing. And then in Silverton and up around Durango, there's some cliffs that you're driving on the side, and it's just way down in there and turns. And so it was a very exciting trip for us. We came home. We took a helicopter ride over the Grand Canyon. I'd highly suggest that if you're ever out in that area. It just gives you a bird's eye view of what an awesome job God does in things when he does some of these things. Some of the rock formations were like in hearts and different things that he was just sending messages back to us. And so it was a great trip. We appreciate your prayers. There are always those that we had one relative we had called when we got back, and she didn't know we were gone. And she said, that would have just made me a nervous wreck the whole time you were gone. How many knows when you've got God, whether you're on one wheel, two wheels, three wheels, four wheels, or 18 wheels, you're okay. You're okay. You know, one old preacher used to say, instant death, instant glory for Christians. Is that it? All right. So we appreciate your prayers, though, and it was a great time. It's good to be back home, and I can see that others are going on vacation today, evidently. So keep them in your prayers. This is a time when I suggest you going on your vacation. Now, if you're home, come to church, right? But take a vacation, take a rest, even if it's just somewhere local, you know, whatever your budget will afford. But take time with your family. Take time to just spend with your family and having a good, restful time. And it's a good mental rest for us. And so we appreciate all that was going on while we were here. I heard you bless Miss Judy and her crew. And she came back with a good report and said I just saw her outside a while ago, and she said Monica's seizures has just went way down, and the pacemaker's working, and the new medication. So we give God praise and glory and honor for that. I heard you took real good care of her dads last week and fed them, and some of the dads said we need to do it once a month. So all you that cooked last month, what do you think? No, okay, that's what I figured. You don't want to pray about it or anything, right? Just no. Yeah, well, I appreciate you doing that, and that's called service, isn't it? It's serving those whom service is due. So we appreciate you doing that. We're gonna actually start a little series today, and I'm going a little different direction than what I. I'm sorry. Is it a good word? Okay, yeah, you sure can then.
Bought a house out in Oregon, most of you know that.
Uh-huh.
Bought a little house out there, and we have a house here. So the time has come for us to get rid of one of them, and so we're going to sell out here and move out there permanently. Now, we will be back some from time to time. We have a granddaughter getting married about Thanksgiving, so we'll come back.
About
that time. In the meantime, we have a nice little house out there and a church that loves us, and much like everyone here does. And that's what we're going to do. And Mark doesn't know it yet, but we're going to leave the house with him to sell. And we're going to head on out probably this weekend.
Amen. So, but you're on notice, I guess. What I was going to say, I think they ought to put the one in Oregon for sale and the one in Oklahoma for sale. And which one sells first, they got to go to the other place. Give us 50-50 chance, you know. The Lord wants you to say, I know, I'm just teasing. I wouldn't question your prayer life. In fact, Miss Ann gets up. What, do you still get up like 3 or 4 in the morning and pray? No, you quit that? Well, good for you. Good for you. He's still so sorry for you. You're retired now. You get up and pray during the day. There you go.
Does a Bible study on her little laptop.
Bible study on the laptop. But just, you know, just pillars of the church for years. They've come here right after we came and have been here for years and years. And so pillars of the church. We'll miss you. But thankfully, they do have family here, so we'll get to see them from time to time. And just drop us a note. Let us know how you are. Send us a check every once in a while if you can. No. That's just the pastor coming out at me right there. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Just take it and just put it in the offering and we'll send them what we don't need. How's that? No, that doesn't work either. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you two and your faithfulness and your commitment to the Lord. You've been a blessing to us for many years. And I understand about the kid thing. I got one kid that lives in Spain, and I'm not moving to Spain. But if Michael and Summer took my other grandkids and moved here in the United States somewhere, I might have to pray about that. I might feel a calling in their area. You know what I'm saying? Life only goes around once, doesn't it? For you that have kids and grandkids, yeah, you know that is the, to me, that's where your Christianity and your walk in faith it really is most powerful is in your own family. And you know, thankfully my kids love Jesus and are born again and so that's the world to me. And so but we will miss you all, and so come back sis as often as you can. You got your Bible today? We're gonna talk about walking with God. Walking with God. Isn't it a great trip walking with God? Miss Millie said after 3,000 miles I think you ought to preach today riding with God. And I'm not sure he was on that motorcycle. I did lay it over once while we were going. We were in a parking lot and Jana was pulling this gas station and they're all lined up and nobody's moving. And so, we went in the store and they found out the gas, you know how sometimes you'll push the nozzle and it runs real slow, just trickles. It was all trickling. And so me and another biker, decided to go down to the next station. And so as I was pulling out, Jana said, "Oh, they're through with their pump now." And I said, "I know, but we already made," and when I looked back, my wheel fell off in a little rut, and before I could turn back around and turn it, it was already leaning, and my bike weighs like 825 pounds without luggage, and we had everything loaded and Jan on there, and so I'm like, "We're going down," you know, and it just barely hit, and the other two guys were there to help me pull it back up, but, so that, we did have a layover there. Yeah. Huh? I had my foot down and I was pulling, buddy, but I'm 50, I turned 54, you know, and so we do have a plan. I said, "Jana, there's a little handle. If you can, next time, put your foot on the ground and pull the handle," you know, so we'll see how that works, but we praise God for a safe trip. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. In Jesus' name, amen. I was studying for this lesson and I just felt like I needed to go a little different direction. Next week I want to talk to you about walking with God, and I want to share some benefits with you through the Apostle Paul, because you know, the Apostle Paul had a very tumultuous ministry, didn't he? In fact, when he was called in Acts, the 9th chapter, God says to Ananias, "I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." How'd you like to have that ministry when God calls you? "I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Wednesday night, we were talking with our Bible students about non-stereotyping evangelism. And what we were talking about is how, you know, we think of evangelism as knocking on doors and all that sort of thing. But there's all kinds of different styles of evangelism, and we went through those six styles, and all of them is very important. I think the one that Christ modeled the most was servant evangelism. He served, didn't he? Very faithfully. Wherever he was at, he was always touching people. And I think we need to learn from that. But one of the things that was brought out in talking about turmoil is when what keeps us from evangelizing is the fear of rejection. Anybody ever received rejection when you've been evangelizing before? I can remember years ago when I was in construction, being on a construction site and evangelizing and really, you never knew what was going to happen on a construction site, because you had some guys that was really just staunch against Christianity, and you'd bring up Christ or I'd quote a scripture to a friend, and we'd just be, you know, quoting scriptures to each other and having a good time, and really probably had more zeal than we had wisdom at the time, but we were still enjoying our day, enjoying our, and sometimes you get a lot of rejection. I had one guy that I witnessed to for several months, and he used to fight a lot. And I asked the Lord one day, I said, you know, this guy's really getting mad at me for just witnessing. And my assignment for this guy, I felt like, was just to tell him every day Jesus loves you. And that's all I'd tell him. Somewhere during the day at work, I'd tell him Jesus loves you. And for that, he just got real critical, and he would curse at me and things. And so I asked Jesus one day, I said, if he comes over and whoops my rear, do I have to witness to him tomorrow? And he never did whip me or fight me, and thankfully, and he did finally receive Jesus Christ and gave his heart and life to the Lord. So that was there's going to be times of difficulty, isn't there? But I'm telling you, the best place you can be when difficulties are going on is walking with God. You ever notice that? When you're in the presence of God and you're walking with God, one of the things I thought about on top of the mountain when we were curving around those little curves is, well, if I die, I'm going to heaven. You know, because that was pretty spooky, and I'm not usually afraid of heights, but with that big bike and all the stuff on there, and it was just a pretty intense time. Most of the time it wasn't, but when it just drop off to nothing in the sharp curves and some of those things, it would just really light up my senses, if you know what I'm saying. Here's what I want you to get. Walking with God, regardless of where you are in life, is the place to be. I got a phone call this morning from a lady that has been attending here for a short while, and she said, God has told me that I'm dying. And she has lupus, and she's been in the hospital Friday, and she's got a lot of issues. But what I noticed was she is at peace. She said, I feel like God is calling me home, and it'll be very quick. And doctors have kind of confirmed somewhat to that effect. But she said, I'm ready to go and pray for my children. So everybody's walking through something. We talked about it in our prayer time this morning. Everybody stresses about something. How many people stress about something? And all you other liars, you can come to the altar right after. We just do. We just stress. We're stressful people. I told Philip when we was talking about that, I said, you know what? One of the things that I stress about, it's easy for me to stress about, is will we have enough? And growing up, I always had enough in my family. Dad was a great provider. I'm a hard worker. Jana's a hard worker. We've got more money in the bank than we've ever had. We've got more things to enjoy than we've ever had. But there's something about me that I'm thinking, what if it, you know, if this and this and this, that year, are you the kind of, you can calculate if two or three things happen, you'd be broke, and what would you do? See? Some of you are nodding your head. For others of you, if you got a paycheck on Friday, you're happy. Man, the world is good. God's good. And here I go. And you don't have a clue. And I admire you. I envy you almost, you know, to that point. Here's the thing, though. The same result. If both of us are broke, we're still going to wind up the same place. You just didn't worry about it, and I stressed in advance. So what we need to do is just say, you know what? Where does your blessings come from people like me? Well, it comes from walking with God. It doesn't come because you're smart or not. It doesn't come because you're talented or not. It comes because, now you may make good money because of talents God gave you and you use them. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, and one 1. And the one that used the 2 talents received just as great a reward, right? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And so he had the same reward, but the one that used 5 was commanded to use all 5. And some of you have been given 5 talents, so use them and be happy. Some of you have been given 1. And as long as you don't hide that talent, you walk with God in what He's given you, you'll be blessed just like the man that's just got talent off the chart. That's a good deal. That's a real good deal. So what I want to talk to you about, and as mentioned this morning again, Spencer had mentioned this a few weeks ago to me. He brought me a list in as a young leader in our church. He said, 6 concerns I have, and this is one of them. And so I was thinking about when we're walking with God, what I went back to was our vision. As mentioned again this morning by Philip, said, well, when's the last time we mentioned vision? So We have cards, and if you like to pick one up, I suggest you get one. But they're just little cards. They're out in the foyer like this. It says prayer face purpose and prayer face mission statement, or you could put vision in the mission statement. The same difference. There's no difference between mission and vision, as far as I'm concerned, in all my studies that I've done. And so I thought, this is where I want to take you this morning. And then next week we're going to look at about three great benefits of walking with God. Today's benefit I want to give you right off the top. I think if you look at our vision, our mission statement, I think this is what you'll find fulfillment. So as I'm talking about the walking with God today, just think about what fulfills you. And I think if you'll walk in these three areas, you'll walk in fulfillment. I wish somehow we could take the fulfillment as Christians that we enjoy and bottle it and give people a sample of it. I think that would be a great witness tool, don't you? To say, you know, and every once in a while people ask us, one of the ladies asked Jana the other day when they were doing a fire, she has to hire and fire a lot of people through her company, and she said there was a lady had really got a little loud, and she said she asked Jana, how do you stay so calm? She said, I can't do that. See, that's what I'm talking about. How many know that's a part of walking with God and maturing in Christ? That's one of the benefits and fulfillments that I just love about walking with Christ. Is you can take a believer or a non-believer, whomever it may be, and have a staunch disagreement with them and be at peace inside. How many is there yet? Some are not, I guess. I think that's one of the greatest fulfillments that I have in my later Christianity is walking where I'm in total disagreement with somebody, having a staunch argument, and yet there's peace like a river inside of me. I love that part. And I'm telling you, that's available to all people who serve Christ. He calls it a peace that passes understanding. And a part of the way that we get that and we obtain that is through doing the will of God, through walking with God. That's what Paul had, and we'll look at that next week. But what I want to show you today is we're just going to look at our mission statement, and the first part of it says, to model Christ's love. That's a part of our vision. That's the forefront of our vision is to model Christ's love. You want to know, if you don't want to do anything else, if you just do that, every day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to model Christ's love. Well, how do I do that? Well, you have to love the unlovable. You have to pray for people before you get up because he used to pray before he got up about the Father's will. That's why I was sharing with our prayer team this morning. I said, I love the prayer, and I pray this now in a corporate setting. I pray it in a corporate way. I just had a discussion with God a while back, and I said, you know, God, instead of naming this and naming that, this is what I want to do, and this is what I mean when I pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, when we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We give you praise today. My family, my church, you know, I'm just leading as your leader in praising God and worshiping the Lord. We give you praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth today as it is in heaven. The will, it's kind of like Rick Warren said, why don't you find out what God is doing and what he's up to and get on board with that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so when I'm lifting us up in prayer, it's like for me, for the kingdom will today on earth, in my life, in my family's life, in my church family's life, thy will be done today. And I just go through the whole prayer like that and give us this day our daily bread. See, walking with God. How many knows your bread may be different tomorrow than it is today? Your bread at the end of the month may be more money. Your bread at the end of the month, you need more grace for somebody. What is your bread? You may need health at the end of the month, or right today. You may need health today. That is what my bread is for today, is I need health. And so that's whatever your bread, whatever you need to sustain you in a healthy and in a God-glorifying way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. See? And it's really been a blessing to me, Eric, to pray that way. It's a biblical sound prayer. It's not any of my influence. It's the biblical sound prayer over the body of Christ and my family and myself. It's been a blessing to me. And so maybe you can take that and use. But to model Christ's love. So that's one way is you're praying. He was an intercessor. He's still our intercessor, isn't he? The right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So if we're going to model Christ's love, we should include in prayer. That should include loving unlovable people. Should include unconditional love. How many has arrived there yet? Some of us are like this. We're in our plane trying to we're circling around the unconditional love airport and we just can't land, can we? It's like we die. Oh, and then somebody pushes a button and we take off again. Unconditional love. And I'm not quite there, but man, I'm just sensing the landing, aren't you? I mean, we're living in a day where we are, you know, when He said, I'm going to give you power, I'm going to give you power to be what? A witness. When the Holy Spirit comes, I'm going to give you power to be a witness. And being a witness is when everything around you is kind of like with Jana in her office setting where everything is chaotic, but it's not in here. Because the peace that passes understanding is there. The anointing's there. And said, she told the lady once, she said, well, this is not personal. She said, and the lady said, well, it's personal to me. It is personal to you, isn't it, when you're getting laid off from your job? That's personal, isn't it? But let me tell you something. If you're laid off and downsized and things, it may be personal, but you shouldn't take it personal. Because how many knows God is your source? God is your source. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. God is your source. Is He your source? We say He is as long as everything's okay. As long as everything's good, we say He is, but is He your source? Well, if He's your source, then we can be, model Christ's love wherever we are in whatever situation we're in. Now, it doesn't mean I won't look at you or you look at me and we won't have a difference and we won't use some words that we're defending our points of view or whatever it is, doctrine, whatever we're talking about, that's something that's been a blessing to me as well, is learning that, you know what, we're all not going to believe the same way. I can still walk in love towards you and believe, have different beliefs about the Bible. That's why we are an interdenominational church. Because there's one main group that teaches you cannot fall from salvation, that you are eternally secure, and there's another group that teaches you can fall from grace, And there's a point that, you know what, and one of them's wrong. But to say that they don't love Jesus and they're not going to heaven, that's not walking in love, is it? They've got fruit in their life and there's abundant fruit. I told one of my Pentecostal friends, I said, you know, it's just amazing to me that I attend a Pentecostal college and I hear some of them say sometimes, you know, about Rick Warren and some of those that are just doing astronomical things for the cause of Christ. And fruit is just oozing out everywhere. And to hear one of them make a statement like this, what if they had the Holy Spirit? How much more could they do? I just want to look at them and say, you don't need education. You need a mind. You're just goofy. The Bible said you'll know them by what? Their fruit, not by, you know, and because they don't confess to speak in tongues or, you know, do Pentecostal things, they say, what if they had the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, you know, I don't know if they could do anymore without exploding or just burning out, you know. I mean, the salvations and the help that they're giving to the world and the blessings that God has given. You know, Rick Warren, his book is sold more than any book except for, I think, the Bible. Who can do that but God? And all I'm saying is, you know, we need to have an unconditional love and look at the fruit and look at the potential in people. That's what walking in love is when I look at you not where you are and you look at me and not where I am, but where I could be through the love and the calls and the blessings and the prayer that you will pray and what could be and what God wants and get on board with that. We can walk in love. So our first statement says to model Christ's love. And I got a couple of scriptures if you want to look at them. Mark 12:30-31 and John 13:34-35. I love these scriptures. They mean so much to me. Both of these, for a year or so, I've preached about the first one, Mark 12:30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And we look at that and we say, how do I do that when I have a job and I have kids is driving me nuts and I have, you know, poor health and I, you know, whatever we have. And we call that life. It's life. It's life. We all have kids and they all mess up from time to time and they all are wonderful from time to time. We all love them so much we can't explain it. I just get such a kick out of my kids and grandkids. Don't you? If you're parents? But can't they just drive you nuts? Summer was at the national competition this week. Won, placed third in the nation, her and her hairdressers. Yeah, congratulations, Summer. I asked Addie one night, I said, "Would you like to talk to your mother?" About that time she called. It's almost like we had some kind of connection there. And so Jana answered the extension in the bedroom. We answered the one in the living room. And I put the phone up to Addie's ear, and she could hear Jana and Summer talking. And Jana, about that time, didn't know she was on. And she walked into the living room, and Addie saw her, and she heard, and she could hear this, and she couldn't connect all these parts together. And she said, "What the heck? Are you talking to my nutter mutter?" Just, I thought, Kodak moment, you know? I love those, don't you? See? And then the next minute, you're having to give her a whipping for, you know, for putting her toe over the line. And you said, "Don't put your toe," and then she didn't look at you enough. So it's not only outside, it's inside the house that we have to have this love. But to have the same kind of love, to model Christ's love, there was, when they would, the disciples were tired and they would push back the children and they'd say, "Get out of here." And he'd say, "Let the little children come." Or the blind man screaming, "Heal me," and they're saying, "Shh," and he won't be hushed. And he comes, and Jesus takes time for him. Unconditional love. I thought, that's what we need to model. That's what would fill every chair. If you want to know what would fill every chair, if you just love people like that, that you know, they would come to see what you got and how you got what you have. That's how we would know. I think God is wanting to transform me into that kind of person. And he's teaching me there's a lot of things he just needs to die inside you, Jack. Is that an amen that needs to die inside of you? Yeah. Thank you for agreeing. Because I'm a selfish person, aren't you? I like number one. Huh? And so I think he's just telling me there's a lot of things inside. And so I'm just looking for a heart transplant. In fact, there was a guy came the other day that used to go to church here, and I was talking with Mark, and he said, "Yeah, they came to church." So Dave Kirby, remember Dave? Some of you are here. And so he said he came. He said Dave had a dream. He said the church had really grown, and Jack wasn't here. And I said, "Did he say where I was?" I don't know where I was, but and then I thought that's some of that heart stuff. I think all God's saying is, I'm not going to be here. You know what I'm saying? I'll be here, but I won't be here. The same Jack that you see today won't be here. It'll be a different one. A one that's got unconditional love, because that's what our vision statement says, to model Christ's love. To model that. To model it at home. To model it at work. With the people that don't really care about you. The people that get on your nerves. People that you get on their nerves, to model that and watch transformation take place. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And you do this through your work, you do this through your busy schedules and through your building homes and retirement and whatever else is going on in your life, searching for work, finishing school, where you are right now, moving from one state to another. You serve Him. You serve Him with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Love Him with everything you have. And we can do that while we go about our daily business. And then John, or the 31st verse says, "And the second like it is, you love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." I'm telling you, that's if we just practice that as a church, and didn't even acknowledge the other two, just loving people right where they are and listening to them. Of course, we can't do that without doing the other two, but that would people would just love to be around us and want to be where we are and have what we have. John 13:34-35 says this, and a new commandment I give you. This is not Old Testament. He said this is where eye for an eye and tooth for new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Here's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. It says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. That's our identification as Christians is when we stand and we love people that are unlovable. I think that's what Jana displayed in that office the other day. It's like, I didn't create this problem. You did as an employee. This is what you've done to merit the firing. And so I hate it for you, but she maintained that calm and peaceful, loving attitude best she could in that kind of situation. How many knows you're going to do it anyway? Those kind of situations are going to rise anyway. Why not use the love of Christ? Why not keep a good attitude? Well, you just don't understand how they are. No, but God understands. He created them. He made them. He may have even made them just to test you. Yeah. I think God puts people in our life to test us. Good test and bad test. Do you pass? So the question is, in the first of our vision statement to model Christ's love, is who are you loving? Who are you loving? Who in your life right now does not really deserve your love? We were in Bible study the other night with Miss Noah. Isn't she precious? She's such a precious saint. And I get so tickled at her because she just has all these conversations with God, you know. And she said, I tell everybody, does anybody remember the statement she used? I tell everybody that they are precious. Is that what she said? Is that what it was? Precious to the Lord. I said, boy, could you tell everybody you know that you're just precious to the Lord? And I said, man, that is powerful, Miss Ray. I said, I don't know how you do that. And I said, just to think everybody around you is precious. She said, well, all of them aren't. But I tell them they are because that's what I want them to become. That's powerful, isn't it? When you call her house and her answer machine comes, you ought to call her house, just get her answer machine sometime. It'll just lift you up. Do you know you're precious to the Lord? And I thought, well, I sure am. Go ahead. You know, she just lifts you up on her answer. Using that as a tool to model Christ's love. This is everything stands on this. To model Christ's love. Because that means if you can model it, you've got it. You say, well, I'd be a hypocrite. I could do it, but I wouldn't really be into it. You don't have to worry about being into it. If you do it, you'll become it because you're doing what God said and He'll give you power to become what you are doing. Speaking those things as though they were that are not. Just practice it. That's called walking by faith. The just shall live by faith. You put into practice what you believe God told you and watch your faith grow. Number two, the second part of our vision statement is to faithfully communicate the gospel of Christ. That's called the Great Commission. You know, the first one, loving God, is the Great Commandment, they call it, and then the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19 and verse 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? We do that more, I think, than we realize. Every day when you're associating with people, you're communicating something, aren't you? Every day. Every day at work, every day at school, every day wherever you are, every day with your family, you're communicating something to them. Every day. Your attitude, whether it's persistent or it fluctuates up and down, your mood. Some of you say, well, I'm moody. And some people, that's what they say about you. You're moody. That's a moody person. Or if you know a moody person, that's really a terrible testimony, isn't it? How are we going to communicate the gospel if we're a moody person? Well, we are communicating the gospel. We're communicating that the God that we serve is no different than the God of the world. Because everybody's up and down, you know, at times. But when we can come and we can love one another, and our message is always the same, that we have a God that loves us and a God that loves you, and a God that's meeting my needs and a God that's going to meet your needs, regardless of what we're going through. I love Mr. Williams' testimony. I want to live. He's just saying, I serve a God of life. And so he'll just live until his time's up and go home. What's wrong with that? Versus the lady I talked to this morning that said, you know what, I'm at peace. I don't want you to pray healing. I don't want you to pray. And maybe that's it. But I just feel like that, you know, as long as we're here, we need to live. Because we serve a God, that's what He communicates to us. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it what? More abundantly. Jesus never said, I've come that you could wither and you could wither quickly. Communicating. What are you communicating? Here's your question. Our vision says to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day you're doing that, but how good a job are you doing it, and what are you saying to people around you? What do they look at when they look at you? What kind of Bible verse are they reading when they read you? I want to get better at that. That's part of my heart transplant. I want to get better at just communicating the gospel with my actions. I like the people that stand on the corner with their signs. What do you do with those people? They have a need, I guess. Does that bother you when you see those people on the corner with their sign? We'll work for food, or someone just says, God bless. But it's like their actions doesn't line up with their sign, does it? When you see somebody on the street corner with a sign that says, God bless, is that what you think? It's something to think about, isn't it? Because each one of us is going to stir you differently. Right now, it's stirred me differently since I saw my first one. The first one I ever seen was years ago. He was on the inside of the interstate and he made the news. It was Thanksgiving. We were going down and he had a big sign and he had his, I think, some army camo on. Some of you may remember years ago when the first one of those ever came out. And I turned around, I remember I was in our car, and I turned around because I could read this big sign he had, and I gave him some money, and then we turned back around and went on. And that really caught on in this part of the country, and that was years and years ago. Here's what I'm convinced when we're talking about communicating the gospel is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just ask yourself, what if I allowed myself to be on the street corner with a sign? What kind of shape would I be in? What would my mind be to do that? Would I do that? If I had hungry babies, I probably would. So it just depends, doesn't it? So the correct response is hard, isn't it? It's no easy fix. It's saying, what would you do? We had somebody came not long ago and they said they'd cut some wood and they're going to sell it tomorrow and they just needed a night of hotel. And then Eric was out there and he'd just stand there seeing what I would do. And I said, well, here's what I think you ought to do. You got a rick of wood? Because I think you're lying. That's what I thought. I thought, you're lying. That's what I discerned. I thought, I've heard your story before. It's just in a different form. And I said, well, here's something I'd do. I'd go down to the Jesus house, and they got all kinds of mats. You can get you a good night's rest down there, sell your wood tomorrow, and boy, you'll be on your way. Was I right or wrong? I don't know. That's just what I discerned. Here's what I said, because I get more of that than probably anybody in the church, because I'm the pastor, right? I said, God, if you'll just tell me, we'll give whatever we got, but if you don't tell me, I'm not. Because we have missions that we give. We're building a water well, and we're sowing seeds right now in Guatemala to provide jobs for people that want to work. And so we have our money going to places, and we do some things around here, and we invest in our own, and so my brother here had a graceful heart, and I think you'll be rewarded for it. But he helped him with the room that night. Guy says, "I will pay you back," and starts running off. I said, "Hey, come here. Do you know how to get a hold of him tomorrow?" "Oh, no, I forgot." There was my next red flag, you know. And so he gave him his number. I asked Eric a few days later, "Did he ever call?" He said, "No." Yeah. But I want to tell you something. That's not easy, is it? That is not easy to watch somebody. And he went off saying, "My, you know, I'm a Christian." And did he say she just received Christ or something? And now it's going to show her the love of God. And woo! And he was so happy. He was happy because he conned a good man out of a night's sleep, a motel. That's what I believe. Because I know he wasn't a man of integrity, or he'd come back to you and gave you, you know. But that is not easy. When that comes, that's not easy. How are we going to communicate the gospel when we have all those kind of people, and then you have, some of you have kids that just won't leave home? And then they leave and they come back. "What are you doing here? I thought you left." You know, and we cried and it was good and we got over you. Now, you know, yeah. Go, be free, you know. And everybody has luck, hard luck at times. But I'm just saying, there's issues we have to deal with, and then we have hateful old neighbors, and we have hateful bosses, and we, you know, whatever it is, it's called life, but we're commanded in the midst of all that to communicate the gospel, and we do that with our actions and our reactions, however that is. We do a good job, we do a poor job, but we'll do it every day of our life. So the best statement we come up with, faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faithfully communicate. Just communicate it best you can in your actions, your reactions, and what you've gone through, and what God is telling you to do. So the question there would be, who are you being light and salt to? Today when we leave, you'll be light and salt to somebody. And then the last one is this: help each prayer faith member discover and utilize their spiritual gifts. If we ask you to do something around here, it's just because we want you to be blessed as well. We have something for everybody. There's about 30-something ministries, and you can get involved in any of them, from teaching, preaching, singing, playing, cleaning, mowing, kids, teens, you know, and just on and on and on. Maintenance, plumbing, electrical, heat and air. I mean, just, there's all kinds of things that you can get involved in. Just and then the Bible says this, Matthew 23:11, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." And the reason we want to help you find your gift and utilize it is because you become a servant and you become great in the kingdom of God. And when you become great in the kingdom of God, you receive blessing and fulfillment. It's a wonderful cycle, isn't it? Blessing and fulfillment because you're doing what God has given you the talent to do. So we decided, well, you know what? That's really the ultimate thing here is when we communicate the gospel and they come in, just help them to find it. We have a gift test we can give to you, and we've given that hundreds of gift tests over the years and to help people find their strengths and their weaknesses. To find out what you're good at and what you're not good at. If you want to sing on the stage, there's a process. And if you love to sing and you can't sing, we're glad about the process. It's a good process. And it may hurt your feelings if you can't sing because you can't sing up here, but, you know, that's the process. And it's a good process. We'll tell you, let's do a gift test and see what else you can do. Because if we had somebody, how many, just, you know, if we had no talent up here, and I appreciate all the youth that were here today and doing without Adam and Anna and without Kisha. Good job. Good job. They could have said, well, Adam's not here on the piano and Anna's not here on the keyboard and said what they're not, but they didn't, did they? They said, we got guitars, we got bass, we got vocals, we'll play for the glory of God. Huh? See, that's being faithful. You guys will be blessed for that. They did good, yeah. Thank you, John. Yeah. So we're just going to help them discover and utilize their gifts, and that's what we do. Whether you play with shoes or not. Did you notice he didn't even have his shoes on this morning? I thought, that's pretty good thinking for no shoes, isn't it? I'm just kidding with you. That's the way you musicians are. You always got to be different. That's what I love about musicians. That's what I hate about them, too. They're just different. They're a gift from God is what they are. When they can make music and it leads us into the presence of God with their voices and their instruments, they are a gift from God. And so thank you for using those gifts. So what I'd ask in the last question is just this, who are you helping? Who are you helping to grow? Each one of you can help somebody to grow. That's what discipling is all about, is just helping them grow right where they are. Listen, if it's your kids, you disciple them and help them and make them and mold them and things. And for all you parents that gripe about your children, all I got to say is you raise them. The product of what you put in them. Selah. Just meditate on that for a minute. Now I know sometimes they get off course and things, but here's the thing. If you put good stuff in, the Bible says when they are old, the training that you give them, they cannot turn it off, is what that literally means in the Hebrew. They cannot turn that off. Wherever they go, if they're in Spain, they can't turn it off. My son's been in Europe. He's been to Korea. He's been in Japan, and now he's back in Europe, back in Spain, and he can't turn it off. In fact, people are amazed at him, and sometimes in his shop, when things arise and need for prayer and things, they'll say, "How did you know that?" He knows it because he can't turn it off. Can't turn it off. The other day, I took Summer off to school and I dropped her off at her little place, and she said, "My dad's a pastor. He can pray if we need prayer." I thought, "You're a pastor's kid. You can pray." I just got my truck and left. Now, I prayed for them as I drove off. But isn't it amazing how we think this hierarchy has to do the discipling? Pray. If you're a Christian and they ask you to pray, just pray. Be a discipler. Show people that, hey, I'm a mom, I'm a housewife, I'm a house mother, whatever you are. You know, I'm a homemaker, but I can pray. Just use what you have. That's how you make disciples. Some of you are Christians, and that's the way it is with Janet. If they ever need a prayer warrior, there's her and Steve Lacey, another Christian that goes to the Baptist church over here at Capitol Hill. They're calling one of them too, because they know they're Christians, and they just pray in corporate settings. So you disciple people when you use what you have, and you develop them because they watch you as a pattern and as an example, and you make disciples. See, this making disciple stuff and helping people discover their gifts and using their gifts, that's not just for us leaders. That's for you to do as well. So go out and make disciples. Who are you discipling is the question. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a powerful mission statement that you've given to our church. And God, it's evident by our bulletin from last week or this week that there's many people that are serving you and in service. They're modeling Christ's love through cooking and cleaning and giving and serving in different capacities. This is ministry. This is the vision of God for His church, is to be servants, to model the love through their actions and deeds and their service. And we thank you for every person that has been serving and giving and modeling the love of Jesus Christ. Now, God, we ask that you would grow us in this. Grow us up in this vision. That we would be able to model your love in a more powerful way. Do a heart transplant on me and everyone in this building that says, "I need a heart transplant, Lord." I'm not where I need to be. I need to be closer, more loving, more consistent, more like Jesus. Do a heart transplant on us. And help us to be faithful servants, to communicate the gospel. And not to stop there, but to help every person we know to grow. To listen to their vision, to listen to their calling, to listen to their passions. And get on board with them and help them discover and utilize their gifts. Make us that kind of person. We pray in Jesus' name. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ into your heart, you've never received Christ as your Savior. Or you've strayed a long way from God and you say, God's convicting me today to come home. I want to be fulfilled. I want to live that kind of life. Would you just lift your hand? I want to pray over you. Okay. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, I just pray over this individual today. As they come home, Lord, to come back to the place of just loving You, that You'll grow them to a new dimension today. That You'll be Lord in every area of their life. The areas they're struggling with, that today, Lord, You'll become Lord in that area. That You'll lift them up. And You'll give them the faith and the strength and the courage to walk in the path that You've laid out for them. That they can have the fulfillment and the love and the blessings that come from serving You. Thank You, Lord, for restoring this person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be home with you today. And go out and be light and salt for the Lord. If it's your first visit, I'd like to meet you right over here at the table. We've got a little gift for you. God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday.